Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Coffee and Christ. we're glad you've tuned in to hear some more about our word studies adventure. But first, Dylan, what's been going on? How you been? Doing good?
I'm doing well. Swell.
Nice.
Everything is good. I don't mean that. I've just been working. Not really anything. It's just been great. I mean, it's been great.
Right, right.
Like, nothing really just stands out to me.
It was Witten's first day at kindergarten.
Don't bring it up. I'm sad. Today was Witten's first day of kindergarten.
Man, growing all up, saving China.
I remember the day that she was born. Now she's in school. She's a kindergartner.
Aw.
But she looked really cute in her little pictures. So, I guess it's good. But I am sad. So, but yeah, she started kindergarten today. Not really. What did I do last weekend? Did I do something fun?
What did you do last weekend?
Oh, I mowed food plots.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
Could have been killed.
No.
I could have.
No.
There's bears. And I was mowing bear territory.
Mm-hmm.
Alone.
Alone.
With no weapon. Because I am pro-gun, everyone. I don't care if you have anything to say about that.
Got two weapons right here.
But, no, my fist.
Yep.
Now that bear would take one look at me and look at me like I'm a Golden Corral buffet. And then I would just sit there and cry. So, yeah, we're going camping this weekend. I'm excited about that.
Where are you going camping at?
Fall Creek Falls.
Nice.
In Pikeville, or I think it's in Pikeville.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we're going to Fall Creek Falls.
You going golf while you're up there?
Probably not.
They got a beautiful course.
I know.
Beautiful course if you get the chance.
But nobody that I'm going camping with is golfers, so.
I was like, you could take your dad, but he's injured.
Yeah, I don't know if he could. I don't know if he could handle it.
Andrea can ride in the cart with you.
Sorry, Poppy. She could be like a little caddy.
There you go.
No, I'm not good enough to play alone. Whenever I see a guy on the golf course playing alone, I'm just like, that guy's really good. Like, he's so good that he has enough confidence to go out here and play by himself.
Yeah.
And people would like... I had to let like foursomes, like the four groups. Like, go ahead, come through.
Go ahead.
My ball 10 yards. So, but our golf tournament's coming up.
That's right, yep.
So I'm excited about that. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, nothing bad's happened, but it's just kind of been, you know, mediocre.
Yep. Nothing out of the ordinary.
No.
Well, I can say it's probably the same for me. Nothing new. But just like kind of rolling with the flow. Going with the flow. Excuse me. Yeah. Rolling with the punches, going with the flow. It's a little different. But yeah, like just work. Just. That's it. Actually, I should receive my diploma anytime now in the mail. I know.
Hey, are you going to hang it up over your desk?
Maybe, no.
Maybe in your new office. You should.
Like people who like hang up like PhDs and like doctorates.
Hang it up.
And they're like, oh, Jackson, what's that? Oh, it's just my associate's degree.
No. I think everyone encourage Jackson to hang it up.
I might. I had a really funny like idea to like do a whole like graduation ceremony for like me and Mike at work.
You should.
And like I've thought it all out. Like you're going to like hand us the diplomas. Ty's going to give the commencement speech, and then Lisa's going to be the announcer.
We should do it. That would actually like, not tell them.
Yeah, I was just going to have everybody come to a meeting, like a mandatory meeting on Friday at like 7 o'clock, just a random day. Me and Mike like get cap and gowns, and we start up in the loft and just start playing the song.
It would be so good.
And we just start walking down, and then we'll throw our caps, you know, and all like 9 of us clap.
That would be amazing.
I know. I've thought about it. I don't know if it's going to... I'm thinking I might do it. I might just like get it all together. But
what's that song called?
I don't know. It's just a. Yeah. See, imagine us walking down the steps right now.
That would be. Can we please do this?
No, funny. That would be.
Please.
We'll get a podium and everything. And like. And we'll sit down, and then Ty will get up and do the commencement speech. At least has to be a minute long.
That would be so funny.
And then Lisa is going to announce the names, and then you're going to have the diploma, shake our hands, and we'll take pictures, and then we'll go around and sit down.
That would be so good. And Lisa could be like, everyone, our guests and our honor graduates, please join us for a refreshment ceremony after this. We'll have biscuits.
There you go.
That would be so fun. Let's do it.
I know. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking.
Or we're going to get gowns.
I have mine. I have mine.
What color is it?
Blue.
I could get a blue one that's like XL for mine. It would be so fun.
Sorry, I got a blue one. Yeah, later. We'll get it later.
We'll see if I can get it on Amazon. everything on Amazon.
I know you can. It's crazy. Well, anywho, yeah, we're like I said earlier, we're gonna be continuing this word study series. Hope y'all like it. Hope y'all learned a lot from last one about listen. If you haven't listened to it, make sure you go back check it out. Today, and for actually the next 3 weeks, or you know, longer, depending if we go over and we want to keep revisiting these topics, kind of be in a more bad word kind of. I every time I say that, I don't want you to think that like I'm cussing or anything like that. It's not. We're not going through cussing words here, but but literal bad words like sin and transgression and iniquity. Like those are the three ones that we're gonna hit kind of back to back. But first, we're gonna tackle sin. And so just again, kind of restating the whole purpose of this is that we want to dive into these words and kind of see what maybe the original language has to uncover for us, maybe get the full meaning that's lost in translation, and, just all in all kind of understand, this word and hopefully understand the Bible, better and kind of, always aim to better ourselves. So just real quick, I want to start off with like just a question, you know, what do you think about when you hear the word sin? Most of us probably might have like a mental checklist that kind of comes up and where you like try to like start naming off like what constitutes a sin, you know, it could be like lying or cussing or drunkenness, you know, whatever, stuff like that, you know, and, you know, that's just something that pops into our head immediately. And then like sin also, we use it, whether you might think about it or not, we might unconsciously use it, but we use it. It can be used as a weapon, you know, kind of to just, depending on maybe what side of the theological spectrum, like, I guess it'd be the conservative or liberalism, like whatever side you're on, you know, could be used as a weapon to lob these like fiery condemnation threats kind of deal. Like, oh, we can't do that. Or you're going to go to hell or stuff like that. And then we also use it to measure up, you know, against one another. It's like a measuring stick, like saying things like, am I better than this person because I don't do this? Or am I doing okay because that person does that and I don't do it? And just like questions like that. And I think that's a very modern view. At least just any time that I've encountered the word sin, just in everyday talks and stuff like that, it kind of narrows down to some of those characteristics of just usually a measuring stick or just used as a weapon, or it's a list. But the biblical view, hopefully you're going to see by the end of this talk today, is a little different, you know. When the biblical authors talk about sin, they talk about something much, much deeper, much more complex than just those lists of good and bad behaviors. And, you know, specifically, they kind of center around talking about corruption, usually, you know. And it's corruption of God's good world. And it shows up in our relationships, shows up in our behaviors, our choices, and ultimately, we're going to see at the root of it, our hearts. And so, and Dylan, you just, whenever you have something, you want to add something, just go ahead. It's kind of like the introduction. I want us to kind of get our minds focused to kind of what today's going to be about. And so I think the best way to do it is we got to go back to the beginning. You know, God created our world and called it good. In Hebrew, it's called Tov, which when I was writing notes for this, I realized Tov is not even one of the words, like good. It's not even one of our words. So we're going to have to add that to the next one whenever we come back around. But he called it good 7 times and then realized that, you know, God, the good didn't make our list. But then the snake comes in And the scene changes, and it the snake corrupts that goodness. And as the story continues, biblical authors use this word sin, and then later on when we study the other ones, iniquity and transgression, to explain this corruption in more depth. And like I said, today's though is just sin, and we'll get to the other ones later. And so sin, in Hebrew, it's translated to as kata, which means to fail or to miss. And also a good point to make is this word isn't always connected to morality, which is, I guess, strange to me because every time, at least in the modern sense, it's always been connected to morality. And so like just going there first, just an example is in Judges chapter 20. Verse 16, we learn about these 700 men from Gibeah who were excellent slingshot throwers. And they were so good that they could hit like one little piece of hair and not, and it says kata or kata, kata, which means, you know, they did not sin. So they didn't miss. They didn't miss the piece of hair. You know, in this verse out of context, you might be like, wow, that is so, that's so odd. But if you go back and you read Judges chapter 2, it kind of gives you a pretty broad overview of that whole story if you're wanting to learn more about the book of Judges. But then, you know, another one is in Proverbs. We just got through reading the book of Proverbs in the last series. In chapter 19 specifically, in verse 2, it says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet, in ESV it says, misses his way. Well, actually, it's translated to misses his kata. And so to travel hastily means you're going to miss your destination. You're going to miss your arrival. And, you know, I can relate to this so well, you know, just driving really fast or just like not really paying attention or something like that and just blowing right through the exit I was supposed to get off at and, you know, having to do the turnaround and, you know, it takes time. But that's the point, you know, traveling hastily, you know, traveling fast means you're going to miss your destination, means you're going to kata your destination. And so at the root of it, kata is missing the point, missing the goal, the purpose. And so, you know, what's the goal? What's the purpose? And so, again, this takes us back to the beginning of what's our purpose? You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 23, it says, and this is God talking to himself as Jesus and to himself as the Holy Spirit. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so here we have a sacred being, God, who is worthy of respect. He made us out of love. And so in this way, excuse me, seeing our purpose and seeing the fail to that purpose is a failure to love God or a failure to not treating people the way they're supposed to, not honoring them the way they deserve because we're all made in the image of God. And we can see this, you know, in the first 10 commandments that were given where God speaks them to Moses on Mount Sinai. And half of these commands deal with how we treat God, how we react, how we uphold him. And the other half is how we treat our neighbor, how we treat people who are closest, how we love them, how we might, you know, steal from them because we're zealous or covet from them, you know, stuff like that. You know, and even Jesus, when jumping to the New Testament, when talking to the Pharisees, and they asked him, what's the greatest command? He gives them two, and he says, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's quoting the Shema, which we talked about last week. And then he says, likewise, which means equal to, you know, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is the goal. It's to love God and to love your neighbor. And failure to reach this goal is called sin. So why do we sin? You know, why are we just like the worst judges about between moral failure and success where, you know, we make those lists? And, you know, I think the first encounter of the word kind of helps explain it. And that's found in Genesis chapter 4. And this is the first time the word is actually said like sin. You know, it's not like in used for its intended purposes. And to set the scene, you know, we have Cain and Abel, the two brothers. We just read about, like, their parents had just given in to that temptation to redefine good and evil for themselves by using their own wisdom and not trusting God, and they listen to the snake. And then Cain is faced in that same choice, you know, that same scenario. You know, and Cain's jealous. He's angry because God has just chosen Abel's sacrifice, his brother, over his, and God warns him. He says in verse 6, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" And so we see these stories, sin or moral failure, is all depicted as like unnatural or wild, you know, something we can't really get a hold of. You know, it's like in this scenario and also in scenarios in the New Testament, and, you know, when Peter's writing, he's talking about how the Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion. You know, the sin's the same way. It's like a hungry animal that wants to eat us. It's like that bear, Dylan, that wants to eat you. That wants to eat you. That's how it's described in the Bible, you know. It wants to eat us. And so what's the Bible trying to tell us? You know, the Bible is saying that these failed human, you know, behaviors, experiences, whatever, it runs deep. You know, it's not just a surface level, you know, not just a simple list of moral right and wrongs. It's rooted. It's rooted in our selfish desires. And really, that's the key of it. But it also urges, you know, those selfish desires urge and influence our actions, and they all lead to benefiting ourselves at the cost of others, or whatever the cost may be. And that's why in the New Testament, you know, a big writer of this, Paul, he's writing to the church there at Rome, and he says in chapter 5, verse 21, next page, 5, verse 21, it says, "So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ." And then it jumps over to 23, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, and now in this case, Paul's writing in Greek, so the word is hamartia. Not kata, but, you know, Paul's saying that sin lives in us. It's a condition that all of us encounter. It occurs when we fail to be humans who fully love God and love others, and it's our inability and to take on that judgment and judge people right from wrong. You know, this is a deep, deep problem, and it's rooted at our selfish desires. And, you know, this isn't really painting a pretty picture, I would say, but this is the word, you know. And that's why in the Bible, the story of Jesus, just like that last verse I read, is such good news. You know, he was in the beginning with God when he created us and became human. He created us in his image, and when he became human, he did not fail to love God or others, and yet he took on the responsibility for all of our past mistakes and our failures and all the future ones we're ever going to make. And he was put to death on the cross. And then he rose from the dead to offer us that gift of life that overcomes all of our failures. And that's why, again, in Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, it says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." You know, the whole Hebrew Bible, the whole Old Testament, these writers, these authors, they've been pointing to Jesus this entire time, as someone to wipe this sin away. And the New Testament authors teach us that Jesus is the one who shows us how to truly die to our sins, as it says in right there at the end of verse 24, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, you know, that we might do what is right. And, you know, the more we just immerse ourselves into this overall story, the more we realize just avoiding sin, not doing it, you know, all of that, it's not just a simple set of lists or just like, because there is a bunch of lists in the Bible, you know, I'll give it that, you know, that might be why our minds go to there, because Paul does list off some things that will not inherit the kingdom of God and stuff like that. But it's not just the list. It's so much deeper, and it's rooted right in our hearts, you know, right in our selfish desires on and how that affects our relationship with God and with others.
You know, I kind of, I've been quiet this whole time because I take the approach more, you know, when we go to the original side of things, and I'm going to bounce straight back to Romans, but when you go to Genesis, and you have the original four sins or four examples in Genesis. Jackson went over two of them. But what was the reason? You know, the temptation wasn't the fruit itself. The temptation was, we want to be like God without having God here. We want to make the decisions. We want, you know, to be able to determine what's good and what's not good, and we want to become God, but we want to do it ourselves. That was the temptation, not the fruit. And the effects of that is they still recognize God, but now the relationship's changed. Now the effects of what they just did changes from a I hope you have a healthy relationship with God. But now there is a certain amount of fear, because now they know his true power, if that makes sense. It's like the healthy fear you have. Like, I have a healthy fear of my dad. Well, had. I mean, poor guy. He's getting on up there.
He's rough.
I mean, as a kid, I had a healthy fear of my mom and my dad. So I'm like, well, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, it went from, I'm going to get a spanking in middle school or elementary school, and you know, high school, it's, oh, I'm going to get my keys taken away. Oh, I'm going to get grounded. Oh, I'm going to, you know, and it's a healthy fear of, and that's what they were experiencing now. And what happens is over time, unfortunately, I think what scares a lot of people away from knowing Christ is that image, the fear that was introduced in the garden now has been distorted. Now it's no longer a healthy fear. It is a fear of, well, there's no sense in me being a Christian. I don't belong in a church because I'm not good enough. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that. Or I can't step foot in a church. I've got family that says that. But, you know, because of the life that they live or the mistakes that they've made, and that's where sin introduced this entire distorted image of what Christ. That's the modern day problem. And you mentioned Romans, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul is writing here to the church at Rome. What was their, you should know this, if you don't, it's okay. But what was the church at Rome, or the Christians in Rome? They're known for their faith, right? Their faith was proclaimed to all the areas around them. And Paul is writing to them and basically telling them their purpose. And that's another thing that, and I have the hardest time, harmatia. I have a really hard time saying that.
That's about right, yeah.
But another definition of that is to fail in one's purpose. So when you go to the Old Testament, you're reading, okay, well, here's the root of all of it. And then if you go look at Romans 1, we're going to end up in Romans 6. But in Romans 1, you have, starting in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. So he's commending them, saying, hey, your faith is great. And then he introduces living by faith. And the famous phrase, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteousness is lived by faith. He's explaining to them, I guess more or less, here's what your life's going to look like as a Christian. Here's how, you know, yes, God's wrath is there. And you read a lot in the New Testament, it's almost like it flips the switch of the wrath compared to the love and the grace. The wrath is still there for people who choose to live in a fear of God, and the fear keeps them away from Him because they just think, well, I'm too far gone. But you read in verse 2, talks about a righteous judgment, or chapter 2, sorry. And then in verse 3, how His righteousness is upheld, and all these things. And then you get to chapter 6, and I'm going to read a little bit here, but Paul is still speaking here. And he says, well, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound by no means? How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, you read that, and then the fear steps back in. Because you read those first four verses, and people think that they can't do that. But they read that, and they're like, you know what? I can't stop sinning. I can't just all of a sudden be righteous. Well, guess what? Nobody can.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the way Paul phrases it, because then he goes to verse 6. For if we have been united with Him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So, what's going on? He's telling them that we need to put our old self down and be raised with Christ. And we have to put sin to death. So, He's giving them their new purpose. And yes, we're going to fail reaching our true purpose. We're going to fail as Christians. I'm going to fail. Jackson's going to fail. We all are. But guys, don't get the distorted image that God punishes, because He doesn't. And let me follow that up. Sin punishes you. Sin is what separates you from God. But God is the one that heals it. And so, yes, it's a bad word, but how are you handling it when it happens? You know, you think about up north, they have to take certain precautions, and I've learned a lot about this dealing with, or talking to one of our coworkers too, that's from the north, and certain things that we do here where we just run drains outside, you know, they don't do stuff like that because it gets too cold. Or one thing, if you live somewhere with a lot of snow, and I'm a vehicle guy, so, but you live somewhere with a lot of snow, and obviously they're going to salt the roads when it snows, right? If you have a vehicle, and like what I do, is if it snows, they salt the roads. As soon as the next rain comes to get all the salt off the road, I immediately go wash my truck to get all the salt off of it. Why do you do that? Because if you leave salt on your vehicle, then it's going to rust to pieces. But if you recognize, hey, I have a problem here. There's salt all over my vehicle. I'm going to go take some extra precautions, take some extra time. I'm going to clean it all up, get it all off, and that'll make sure my vehicle doesn't rust. That makes sure that, you know, when you run a drain outside in Indiana and it gets to, you know, 0 degrees, well, it's going to freeze and your union's going to quit working. You can't do that there. So, yes, sin is a bad thing, but God doesn't punish you. Sin does if you don't take care of it. You know, there is not one person on this earth that is immune to sinning. You read verses like that, like Paul speaking in Romans here, and he's saying, well, put sin to death. He's not saying stop sinning because we can't. But the way we put sin to death is to understand our purpose, understand that we want to get to heaven. And anything that gets in our way, we have to handle it. And that's what the death of Jesus gave to us. It gave us a way to be able to put sin to death. In verse 23 of Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Where does it say the wages of Christ or the wages of being a follower of God? Or God's not punishing you. The punishment of living a life in sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul's saying, yes, you're going to sin. If you don't take care of that sin, if you don't handle it, if you don't work on it, if you don't try to be better, then you will die. But we have this new thing called grace. We have a whole new outlook on the way we need to live our lives. And all he wants you to do is try. And if you try to do something, I hope you do it to the best of your ability. But if you go into, like I just said, and I know it's funny, but that's just the way I remember things. If you know it's going to snow, and you see the salt trucks on the roads, already have that in your mind. Okay, as soon as I can, once all this is gone, I got to go take care of this. I got to wash my vehicle. I got to wash underneath it. I got to get all this off because I don't want it to rest. And you do it, you take care of it, you move on. And in 10 years, you're going to have two trucks side by side. One that was taken care of, one that wasn't. And the one that wasn't is going to be beat to death. There's going to be holes in the sidewalls. There's going to be bed rust. There's going to be all this stuff. But if you take care of the one, you're still shiny. You're still nice. But it took effort to do that. And I say it that way because that's what Christ wants. Our purpose in life is to give God effort. And that's what makes sin not as scary as what everybody says it is. Yes, it's bad. But we're all going to experience it. You're not immune to it. And like Jackson said, this is not a, you know, you're not the one beginning this problem. The problem started in Genesis. And it started at the dawn of time. We're not, you know, it runs deep. Them colors don't run. Okay? But it runs deep. The problem is definitely there. But our purpose in life is to give effort. What are you going to do to handle it when you do it? And if you understand our purpose, if you understand, yeah, you got to have a healthy fear of God. But at the same time, God's in your corner. God is literally, at times, could be the only cheerleader on your side of the bleachers. But he's there. And he's watching you miss your layups and miss your three-pointers. And he's watching you really just struggle, but he's still there waving his pom-pom. Go, Jackson. Go, Dylan. You know, he's not, you know, sitting there like a college scout marking down every terrible thing you do. He's saying, all right, you're going to get the next one. You're going to get the next one. But anything worth having takes effort.
Yeah.
So that's what transforms something bad into something tolerable and manageable and being able to work on it. So.
Yeah.
Sin. There it is.
Kata. Hamatia.
There it is.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. Well, guys, we hope you, you got anything else?
Nope.
We hope you all enjoyed, our talk about sin. Again, we're not saying that this is, you know, easy, like, oh, you should just not sin. Like, no, it definitely takes some work and some effort. And And that's why also, you know, Jesus died for the church. We're all supposed to, we all are just a group of community of people who are all sinning and struggling. And if it's something like personally that you're struggling with, and I just, my advice is don't hold it in. Don't try to fight it by yourself, no matter how, you know, good you might think you are or something like that. You know, the Satan is very good at his job. So at tempting us, at making sin more enticing. So just, lean on your church family, lean on Jesus. And we're all going to get through it.
Hope you have a great week. Be safe, whatever you're doing. If you're operating heavy machinery, wear safety glasses or a hard hat.
You don't do that.
And if you're and if you're driving a vehicle or a gas powered automobile, please wear your seatbelt.
What about diesel?
It's all right. It's past. Just kidding. You look a fool.
A fool.
Wear your seatbelt.
All vehicles.
See you later.
Yep. We love you. Jesus loves you.